On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Ron Rivera calls week three in Buffalo a measuring stick game for the Washington football team. What exactly does that mean? Let's find out. This is the Washington Football Talk Podcast. What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Big road trip coming for your Washington football team. Do they have enough juice to get it done? That's what we're going to examine. As always, we're brought to you by the good people at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out online, oarsmanva.com. Six locations all over Northern Virginia. Get anything, a Ford, a Lincoln, a Kia. They got them all. Joined by Pete Haley, Mitch Tischler. Gentlemen, what's going on, boys?
Can't wait to see Taylor Heinicke play some more football. That's what I'm saying, JP. It's been too long with that Thursday game last week. I want to see if he can continue his superstardom.
I can't wait to see this defense hopefully bounce back. Got it. At some point, things have got to start turning towards the better, and coaching staff all sounded pretty optimistic this week that things were going to be better up in Buffalo. It's going to be a hell of a task against Josh Allen and company.
Did you say superstardom, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah, that might have been a little aggressive, but we know I like to make aggressive claims about Washington football team quarterbacks.
Hey, he's a Bud Light sponsor now.
Yeah.
About that.
That's great.
I kind of thought we were in it together, Taylor. Like, I kind of thought, like, you get something, I get something. I have definitely gotten nothing so far. Just
yeah.
So really knows.
You deserve like 15% of the credit for that, no doubt. Like, you got the assist. You didn't score, but you got the assist.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not looking for 15%, 10%, 5%, any percent. I just want 3 or 4 of those old school Bud Light hats he got.
Oh, like, yeah.
If you just give me those hats, I'm good. That's all I want. But I need a few of them because I want to give a couple away strategically.
I would like 3 or 4 cases of Bud Light, which will last me about a weekend or so.
Right. That's the thing. Like, God bless Bud Light. I'd love some free beer, but like, free beer is fleeting. A hat lasts
forever. Well said.
The memories you make with said Bud Light could last forever.
Or never form at all.
Or never form at all. It's a zero-sum game.
Mitch, I've seen you enjoy a few Bud Lights, dude. I don't know that you have everlasting memories from all of them. All right, let's get down to business. Relatively like boring week of practice. You got this Matt Ioannidis situation lingering, and we'll give you a timestamp. It's 9:13 on Friday morning, and Ron Rivera is set to address the media at 10. I can't imagine he provides any insight into if Ioannidis is going to play or not. Pete, if he does, go ahead. You can edit this. Fine.
Okay.
If Ron says, hell yeah, he's playing, put it in right here. Or if he says, no, we're shutting him down for the week, put it in right here. Regardless, I don't believe that's going to dramatically alter the game plan. Honestly, Ioannidis hasn't been kind of the pass rushing threat we've been used to through two games. Antonio Gibson, the shoulder seems fine. He was a full participant in practice. You know, that, especially because they had the Thursday game, that was now the shoulder injury was now 2 weeks ago. So whatever it was, I think he's okay. I think it's so bizarre that I really think this game is up to the offense to win, because I think the Bills are kind of sputtering. And maybe they get right. Listen, I won't be stunned if Josh Allen and Steph Diggs have a get right game against this Washington secondary. People ask me if this is an opportunity for Washington's defense to get right. And I'm like, man, you need if they're playing the Jaguars or the Jets, like, those are opportunities for this defense to get right. This defense has been somewhere between underperforming to bad for 2 weeks. So playing an MVP candidate and one of the best receivers in the league, that ain't a get right opportunity to me.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I don't think the get right happens, but if you listen to the coaches and the players, which they said the same things after the Chargers game, is that these things are all correctable. It's just focusing on the guy in front of you, doing your thing, doing your assignment. And in theory, that sounds incredibly easy to clean up. Hey, the communication's bad. Let's just talk a little louder. Let's enunciate better and be on the same page. But those are all just buzzwords they've been throwing at us for years and years and years. And some of those issues.
We heard those buzzwords. I mean, the first defensive coordinator I covered as a reporter was Jim Haslett. And I've been hearing the same buzzwords since Haslett.
Communication in the back end.
Bill Berry, Greg Minuski. I mean,
yeah. So
They're
trying to tell us they're a step away from fixing it. I don't necessarily buy it, and I'm not necessarily expecting it to happen in Highmark Stadium this weekend.
It's certainly not a get right situation because, like JB said, you want a get right game when a fluttering defense is playing a bad offense, and this Bills offense is too good to be a get right game. That doesn't mean it can't be a building game though. And I think one of those things that the coaches have talked about all week is do your job, not to quote Bill Belichick, but not to try and do extra things. And it got me thinking about some of the, real splash plays that we saw from Chase Young last year, the read option in Philly where he just blew up Jalen Hurts before he even handed the ball off. I think those are the kind of plays where, that we saw a little bit of the guys trying to do a little too much against Daniel Jones last week against the Giants, guys trying to blow up a play before it even happens as opposed to sticking with their assignment. And I'm not pointing out Chase Young specifically, but just across the defense, I think you're starting to see guys. I think about that third down play where John Bostic, the third and 16 at the end of the Chargers game, when John Bostic overextended on the zone drop, that seemed to be one of those situations where he kind of saw a guy coming open in the flat and went over there, even though that wasn't necessarily his job. I think if we can see these guys start doing the little things, start concentrating on those assignments and doing those bits, you can see incremental change, incrementally better play, and hopefully that's a step forward for them. I don't know that they're going to go out here and get a shutout. Although, Pete, are you going to predict another one?
No shutout talk for me this week, Mitch. Yeah, you can take a break.
Keep them south of 30 points, and you can feel like maybe things are doing okay.
Can I interject real quick? Pardon me.
Please,
yeah, please. You always do.
I've been getting. I'm going to try not to curse here, Pete.
You can curse. Go ahead.
Texts constantly. Let me just read you this text message I just got. Hey, Millicent, I manage rentals in District Heights. Got plans to sell your place anytime soon? I'd love to hand you a lump sum payout for it. Regards, Aiken. Hey, Aiken, you moron. Stop texting me. I'm not Millicent. And I'm going to get out the phone number, 301-220-6441. Everybody text this guy that he's an idiot and has stopped texting me.
That is
JP,
awesome.
Do you get the phone calls offering to buy your house?
Yes.
It's very simple. When I get the phone call and they say they want to give me a lump sum, I say, great. Here's the value of my house right now. Double it. I'll take that lump sum and you can have this piece of land in Bethesda, Maryland.
Mitch, do you want to give out your address?
Yeah, it's...
I'm going to have to bleep all that out.
I mean, that's a hard edit. You're just
Yeah,
that's
yeah hard. Of course. Of course.
That's a hard bleep. JP, just tell Aiken. Aiken can send you some Bud Light hats and you'll be good to go. Also, Millicent is my cat's full name. So maybe she's texting you because you said she was going to be thrown off the balcony.
Let her know that I still feel the same way.
Gotcha.
Also, Mitch is like, I don't want to specifically call out Chase Young. I think that was the only guy you named.
Because when they start talking about that, I just keep thinking back to the big play in Philadelphia last year that everyone was so excited about, and look at how athletic and all that, and it was a great play, but it was also him jumping an assignment.
It's tough because I think Chase is playing better than he's getting credit for, but it's not nearly what the expectation was. So it's like he probably feels like he's performing, and people are still somewhere between critical and underwhelmed.
Yep,
and that can lead to like some tension, I think.
Yeah.
For the record, I also specifically called out John Bostic too. If you're going to say that,
only after you said I'm not just specifically calling out Chase Young. I don't think Chase is listening, dude. I think
I don't think so either. But
He might be. Who the hell knows? I'm sure there are people that Chase speaks with that are listening. I'm confident of that. Is it weird going into this thing that, at least for me, I'm not even questioning if Heinicke is big enough for the moment or any of that. I'm just like, oh, they need him to really play well. Like, there's not even a discussion to me of, oh, can he handle it? Because I just think he can. Dude is the ultimate out of nowhere story. And I don't think his first road start or Bills Mafia or any of that stuff is going to impact him.
Yeah, I no longer doubt his ability. Just when he throw the D-U-R in front of ability and get durability, that's the only thing I'm worried about. But if he's upright and he's okay and none of his bones are being crunched or his arm is not being pulled out of its socket, I think he's going to lead this offense. I think he's smart enough. Now, I think there's going to be some more turnovers and some more issues. I mean, he can't play this basically. I know he didn't play perfect against the Giants, but this on fire for the rest of his career, there's going to be bad afternoons, and maybe it's against Buffalo. But still, I think he's shown us he can play quarterback in the NFL. He can move the ball. He can lead an offense, and his teammates trust him. As long as he's in the lineup every week, I feel pretty good about the offense, weirdly enough.
Yeah, certainly the first road game and Bills Mafia and all that could be potentially scary to some folks. But think about this. His first NFL start was a playoff game, primetime, against Tom Brady and the Bucks. He played a second primetime national game on Thursday night against the Giants. I don't think the moment will ever be too big for him. I think what will be interesting to see is you saw the Giants not really blitz him a whole lot and try and keep him in the pocket and see if that was going to be the kryptonite to his game. And he went out there and threw for 350 yards and played really well. So I'm going to be curious to see if the Bills kind of take a different approach to it and try and blitz him and see if those legs, you know, him getting around on the outside is going to be a difference maker in this game, because, you know, the Giants really took a very conservative tactic rushing the quarterback on Thursday and Taylor kind of made him pay. So hopefully we see what the Bills are going to do and he can make if they force him to run around in the backfield, that's something that we know that he can do well. And that's something hopefully he can succeed that way too.
By the way, the last starting quarterback to play this Bills defense a week ago fractured his rib. Let's make sure these tackles are ready to go, because Heinicke could easily, unfortunately, join Tua on like a cart or something if this team isn't ready to protect him.
So, and perhaps I may be in the very early stages of like falling in love with Taylor Heinicke. I don't know. And I kind of go back even to the Tampa game where I thought like, you got to give this kid a chance. And I thought it then. And I mean, I've written the story for our website that like this team has looked high and wide for a quarterback. They tried the major trade up in the draft for Robert. That didn't work. They tried to play it safe, draft at your position with Dwayne. That didn't work. They traded for a veteran in Alex. That didn't work. Lord knows they screwed up the Kirk Cousins situation 100 different ways. And Kirk has some blame in that, even though we try to rewrite it so that he doesn't. They've tried everything and nothing has worked. And I just wonder if they finally found something when they weren't looking for it. And it's a weird place to be, but I think at some point, like whenever I would bring up that Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't started a 16 game season since 2016, everyone was dismissive of it. Be like, oh, well, there was Tua and there was Josh Rosen and there was whoever the hell else in whatever else situation. There were always all these mitigating factors, right? Because how dare we question if Fitzpatrick can make it, right? But with Heinicke, it's like, oh, well, you know, he got hurt in that Tampa game. Oh, well, he got the leg whip in that Chargers game. Like, sure, he has to stay healthy. But, like, so do 31 other quarterbacks. And I think at some – like, there are dudes that have established their incredible durability. Kirk's one of them. Brady, Stafford. I mean, there are dudes that are able to gut it out every week and often land on the injury report and are still fine and play and generally play at a pretty high level. Aaron Rodgers, stuff like that. I'm not putting Heinicke in any of those categories, but I'm kind of, hell yeah, he has to stay healthy. But like, I'm not sure we have to point it out every time. Like with Alex, how every conversation we got, hey, it's supposed to be a football conversation, but don't forget that incredible comeback. The incredible comeback was cool, but at some point it's just about football. Certainly Heinicke has to stay healthy. That's a huge part of this, but it's a huge part of it. who's his comp? It's a huge part of the Panthers' plans for Sam Darnold to stay healthy. It's a huge part of the Browns' plans for Baker Mayfield to stay healthy. And I don't think every time they talk about those guys, it gets pointed out. And so I'm growing tired of the Taylor Heinicke has to stay healthy
angle. I agree. I don't disagree with you that that's not something that necessarily needs to be said, but a lot of those quarterbacks that you named don't have an injury history like Heinicke does.
What's his injury history, though?
Just that basically every time he's gotten on the football field prior to the season, he's gotten hurt.
He's only gotten on the field twice. And
not just NFL. Going back, I mean, but going back. But regardless.
Going back to what? ODU? I don't even think he played in the XFL. Going back to what?
Well, this is a kind of a sidetrack, but we even joked about how he got elbowed in the walkthrough. Like, the guy just seems to have issues all the time. And it's not just his injury history, it's his size. I mean, all those quarterbacks you pointed out are bigger and stronger. I mean, Heinicke had to put
on. Not anymore. That mindset is also antiquated because Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, like the age of the 6-foot quarterback is starting to be eliminated.
Right, but they also have – I know Heinicke can move, but those guys have elite moving traits where they can dodge tacklers and get out of bounds before any of this stuff happens.
Is Mayfield elite elusive?
I don't think Mayfield runs like Kyler and Baker do.
Nobody moves like Kyler, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, size-wise, that dude is tiny. I remember when there was so much intrigue and mystery about his size and then actually seeing him at the combine, I was like, damn, that dude is little. Like, nobody moves like Kyler. Nobody moves like Russ. Those guys are small, and Baker's not big, and whatever. I understand. I'm just saying, like, at some point, and there's always going to be the national conversation about, like, oh, this guy went to Old Dominion and all that, and that's fine. Good for them. But, like, at some point, I think we're deeper into this than maybe the national drop in, have a nugget about Heinicke, bounce out. And at least that's where I am.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I'm tired of it too, but he's played. He got hurt in the Carolina start. I mean, he started, I think this is his fifth start. He got hurt in the Carolina game a couple years ago. He got hurt against Tampa Bay, could play the rest of the game, but then had 6 months to recover. And he's wearing a sleeve because he got leg whipped. I mean, we just aren't having a big enough sample size yet to completely ignore it. But I'll try to stop bringing it up because there's more important things.
But we also don't have a big enough sample size to talk about it as much as we do. Like, any other quarterback wears that leg sleeve, it's not a thing.
2016, ankle fracture. 2017, concussion. 2018, elbow placed on IR. Then 2020, 2021, the shoulder sprain.
It's a lot of different ailments.
I agree with you that I think it's being brought up too much, but it is until I don't know how many games it is that you have to stay healthy before you stop talking about it, but it has only been two games that he's stayed healthy, and in one of them he did have a minor injury that didn't get played up. Oh, I don't think that injury got overly played. But I think when you talk about superstardom or sustained success for him, you have
to. For the record, only one of us brought up superstardom. It was not.
We'll stick on sustained success. Part of that sustained success is the best ability is availability.
Certainly, and all I would say to that is he's been available whenever they've called him.
This is true.
Like, yeah. Until they call him and he misses time, I'm kind of done. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's well established
during a walkthrough. So I don't know.
I think it's well established his injury history. I think that we don't have to caveat everything with, well, if he stays healthy. I agree with you on that.
That was my point. Have you also noticed that when I put this towel on the back of my neck, doesn't it look like I'm on a green screen all of a sudden?
No, not at all. He looked like cool, like, workout bro, but I don't think he looked like a green screen. It is a good look, though. I think you should keep it.
I just put a towel around my neck like often now.
Yeah, it's for some. It's weirdly working for you.
We need to get you one of those cold towels. You know, the ones that you like that you just like put around your neck and they help cool you down. Not just a random t-shirt.
Well, God, it was 50 degrees. I'm already telling my wife I want to move to Miami.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
All right. That was a good Heineke discussion. You want to get down to business, over-unders and such?
Yeah, boy.
Before we get there, how confident are you this defense? And this is just a number and a sentence. How confident are you, scale of 1 to 10, this defense can hold the Bills to around 21 points? What's their team total? 27 and a half?
Yeah, the number for me is going to be 24, and I'm 5 out of 10 confident. They have the talent to do so, but the way they're playing would suggest that they won't. But at some point, they got to wake up and at least hold a really good offense to just a good day. 24 points, and I think you have a chance.
I'm about a 5. I'm like a 4 that they're going to keep them under 24 points. I think that there's too much firepower there, and I think that they're going to have to score. Both teams are going to be scoring here come Sunday, and I don't think they're going to hold Josh Allen down.
Pete, you said something there about the talent on this defense. Perhaps we're all ash burning ourselves with the talent on this defense. I don't know. I remember that it was Ben DiNucci, though. I remember that.
Sure.
But I also wonder if we're not orchard parking ourselves a little bit about this Buffalo offense. Like, possible last year was lightning in a bottle? I don't know. We'll find out. But,
well, I mean, it's really just Allen and Diggs are the guys that scare me. Cole Beasley's fine. Singletary and Moss, they don't really run the ball. Dawson Knox is an okay
Manny tight Sanders end. Is a good player, dude. Manny Sanders has been on a lot of really good teams, made a lot of really big plays. And I think they're going to try to run the ball, and I think they're going to run the ball pretty effectively, and I think that could be the nail in the coffin here.
We did this with the Chargers game. When Washington is on defense and the Bills are on offense, who is the best player on the football field?
Josh Allen. Diggs.
It's Diggs or Josh Allen, and I think that's troublesome when the two best players are on one side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, if this was the opener, I'd say Chase Young, but right now he's just been a little too quiet for my taste.
On the other side, I think it's Terry, though.
Tre'Davious White and Terry right. could be.
I think it's 1A, 1B who's their pass rusher?
I think it's Terry. I don't think Ed Oliver or Greg Rousseau are close.
The Bills' whole secondary is really good, but yeah, I think it's Terry or Tre'Davious.
All right. Over-unders. Mitch wanted to do Josh Allen running yards. It makes a lot of sense because of Daniel Jones just torching them last week. So we're not doing a wild card. We're doing Josh Allen. So just give us the numbers and let's get our action in.
All right. Taylor Heineke pass yards, 240 and a half. Mitch, what do you like with Heineke there?
Sailing over. I think they're gonna spend a lot of time on offense, and I think they might be playing from behind a fair amount. So I think he's gonna have every opportunity to get over that number.
Over. I got him at like 260.
Yeah, I mean, what, he finished with 326-ish last game. I don't think he gets to those heights, but I think 240 is pretty low and pretty inviting. So unfortunately, that means we're all three over. All right, next up. We are going to do Gibson. Do we want to do rushing and receiving or just rushing?
Let's do rushing.
Just rushing.
All right. Just rushing for the running back.
I don't feel fervent on the
top. No, you both agreed. 61.5 for Gibson.
Over.
JP,
he's running the ball well, dude. I think he'll get to like 75 yards.
I think lost in all the discussion about Heineke and the defense is that Gibson is running the shit out of the ball and looks really, really good and needs to get 20 to 23 carries this week because he is really running well and taking on lots of contact.
So you're going over two, Pete?
Yes.
I will go just under. I think I agree with both of you. He's been running the ball very well. I think the course of the game is going to cause them to have to throw the ball a fair amount, and he's not going to get quite enough touches running the ball. I think he's going to get to about 50, 55 yards under.
All right, Mitchell. And then lastly, Josh Allen rushing yards, 37.5. I'm going to go under. I think he'll be effective, but I think they want him to work from the pocket. And also, I looked, he doesn't really run for more than 40, 50 yards all that often. I think he's only done it 8 times in his career. Now, of course, he could definitely make it number 9 this weekend, but I'll go under.
Under here, I think he's more of like a red zone threat than the Daniel Jones break long ones. And
yeah,
I'm going under.
I'm going to go over. I think he's going to be pesky. I don't know that he's necessarily going to break off a huge, huge run like Daniel Jones did, but I do think that he's going to get outside the edges a couple times and get a couple 6, 7, 8 yard runs in there and get just over that number.
All right. We're all in. Nice job. Very efficient. 100 chippies next. The numbers, the big numbers, and I can also answer any prop questions you all may have. The spread is all the way down to Washington +7. I think it was 9.5 when it opened up at the beginning of the week.
7.5. And I,
all right,
I'm taking the hook.
We'll take 7.5, and then the number is 45.5. Is that what you're seeing, JP?
It is.
All right. Cool. And again, any props, just throw them my way, and I'll let you know what we're thinking.
I'm in, and I haven't done this in perhaps ever. I mean, somebody, I guess Perina. Are we going to see Perina this weekend, Mitch? You talk
I think to him? We are. I think so.
Okay, good. Also, there's great consternation from the McDonough household about your choice of wing restaurants for Saturday night.
It was Perina's choice of wing restaurant, and I trust the Buffalo native guy that lives there.
So you're saying Tim McDonough doesn't know what he's talking about?
I'm saying Tim McDonough told me that he grew up in Buffalo and never ate at any of the quote-unquote wing spots because his favorite place was his local, you know, pizza shop that had great wings. And it wasn't until he left and then started going back that he started making his way around to some of the other ones. So, yeah, Tim McDonough, I'm calling you out. I think he's a little fraudulent.
Wow. Because I talked to Timmy last night. He was coming in hot. He's like, I can't believe you're going to Duff's, dude. And I was like, Mitch made the plans. I don't know what to tell you.
We had a discussion yesterday about it.
I invited Thurman Thomas to join us for dinner. I don't know if he's going to come, but he was on the radio with us, and I told him where we would be and at what time. And he said he was playing golf with Bruce Smith. And I said, you know what? Bring Bruce. We'll have plenty of room.
We can talk about old Washington football days with Bruce.
And Thurman said Bruce really likes his wings. So if Bruce comes, we might have to order more wings.
If Bruce and Thurman come, NBC Sports can pay for a lot of wings that night.
I don't know that I'm not counting on it, but you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Real quick before we move on to the bets, I forgot we're doing upside gaming again this year. So for our listeners, if you want to play along on the over-unders, you go to the App Store, Google Play Store, whatever you got, download Upside Games. And then there will be numbers each week, the over-unders that we set. You can join us. I'll keep track of the leaderboard. And the winner at the end of the season, I think Tim Meek won last year. Not sure we ever gave anything to him, but we're going to keep that on the DL.
When it comes to over-unders.
We will come up with something. I'm thinking of a good prize, and we'll actually give out the prize this year. So upside.
I have a Bruce Allen signed football that somebody gave me. I don't know what
that might be it.
That, but that's pretty valuable in a super ironic way. To the right person, that holds tremendous value.
I think the listeners of this podcast would adore a Bruce Allen signed football to like wipe their butt with or to like bury in their backyard. So yeah, upside games, over-unders will be there all year long. All right,
it'd be pretty baller for your Thanksgiving Day football game to break out a Bruce signed football as the game ball.
That's actually pretty funny. All right, JP, were you saying you're about to make a first in Chip's history perhaps?
Yes. What do I say about teases and parlays? They're stupid and they're ways for the house to win, right?
Yep.
I'm teasing. Give me Washington up to 13.5 and the over down to 39.5.
All right. All 100 chips?
All of them.
Wow.
I am also doing a teaser.
Oh.
But I'm going to be, I'm going to tease Buffalo down to -1.5 and over, what do we say, 30?
39.5.
39.5.
All 100 chips?
Throw me 50 chippies on that one. And then I want 50 on
chips.
A.
Driving me crazy. Just say chips.
50 on a parlay of Bills first to 10 and Logan Thomas to score a touchdown.
Bills first to 10. Good God, degenerates.
All right. I love both your teasers, and both of those teasers can hit at the same time. That's what's the beauty of them. All right. I'm just going to take Washington. No, Super
Bowl. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm going to put 50 chips just on Washington to cover. We have said some of the numbers in other segments. Road dogs this year are 13-5 against the spread. And while I don't think they will win, I think staying within a touchdown, even on a backdoor route, is possible. That's going to be 50 chips. And I'm going to take a guess here. I'm just going to look at some touchdown scores. Oh, they're not listed. That's okay. Game props.
Look at a better site. Just look at a site that works.
Let's see. Sorry.
Score. Can I tell you what I was going to say then while you're looking?
Yeah, please do.
The single football game I lost the most money on in my life was the Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl when Donovan McNabb threw up in the huddle. and if you go back and look at it, any possible tease you put in, Eagles in the over, Eagles in the under, Pats in the over, Pats in the under, any tease you possibly put in hit in that game.
Yeah, that happened.
I did not have a tease in that game.
That's incredible. I'm just going to do first scoring play type. That's going to be a home team touchdown. That is 50 chips, and the odds are +130. So that's where my other 50 chips are going. Because Washington certainly never scores first. And the Bills, the Washington defense has given up 2 touchdowns on their first drives to start the game.
I have the touchdown numbers here. Logan Thomas is +250 to score.
It's okay. I'm all in on my bets. I think JP probably wants to bazounce soon.
No, I mean, if you want to do it, I don't care.
Nah, it's okay.
I also don't care.
I don't care either.
All right.
Sorry, I'm winning. I'm winning over-unders, and I'm leading chips, just to make that clear. Both.
How are you doing in Survivor Pool, Pete?
Oh, yeah. JP and I lost in week one thanks to Kirk and the Vikings.
Washington saved me in week two, and I have the Broncos rolling in week three.
Ballsy.
I have lost in Survivor in the first week 2 years in a row.
Same.
Got to be honest, I kind of don't think Survivor's my game. I think it was you. So I've gotten this tweet a million times, and I want to address it real quick. Pete, I believe you specifically asked Scott Turner about calling.
Yes.
All right, I got it here. All right, so who's the guy that just asked me this? Because people ask this with such, like, disdain and, like we're not doing our effing job. So Paul Thomas, at Paul Thomas Law, he says, hey, bud, can one of you guys ask Scott Turner why with a one-point lead late in the fourth quarter last week and after a 10-yard run and a 3-yard run by Gibson, we called a pass play. OMG and a pass play in the middle of the field. Gibson was averaging over 5 yards a carry. Maybe I'm reading this unfairly to Paul Thomas Law, but I've gotten this tweet a million times, and it, to me at least, reads with some level of condescension that we're not doing our jobs and asking about a key play, which was asked about in post game of the coach, of the quarterback, and of the coordinator. So let me just defend myself and the people that are on this beat, because all the questions were asked. I'll read you exactly, or you can put the audio in. I'll just read it.
Yeah, read it.
So this is Scott Turner asked about throwing the ball in that situation. They had all their timeouts. They had just used their first timeout. It was outside of 2 minutes, the 2-minute warning, where I wasn't just going to run the ball and just give them back the ball. We want to win the game on offense. We're always going to factor in all that, the clock, whatever. Where we are on the field, we were backed up. We had gotten the one first down, and we're just trying to win the game on offense. We're going to play aggressive, and I wouldn't change anything from the play call. Then Taylor, I think he just kind of overthought it. It's a progression. He kind of skipped a step, and Terry actually did a pretty nice job of running a little kind of running interference. And then that's why he was delayed a little bit. But it was just Taylor kind of forcing the ball where it shouldn't go, and they made a play. Then fortunately, our defense stopped them and we were able to go get the field goal and win the game. But that was a tough couple of minutes waiting for the ball to come back to us. Mm-hmm. You can hate the play call. I understand that. I don't hate the play call. They're trying to win the game. And I think more and more you see that philosophy across the NFL. I mean, think about Harbaugh and Kyler Murray going for it on fourth down. More and more
teams success. Are trying
to win the ball, win the game with their offense on the field. And I think it's the right mode. But don't effing suggest that we're not asking the questions that need to be asked. Sorry for the rant.
I love it. I love when you defend us.
Ron got asked about it. Taylor got asked about it. Ron and Taylor got asked about it in post game and 3 days later. So enough.
I liked his answer, but yeah, the play call you can quibble with. But the answer overall and the attitude, all for it. Try and win when you have the ball. Don't just cross your fingers that it works out.
We have a Jonathan Allen interview we need to get to, but real quick, Benjamin Franklin. Anybody gets the score correct, they get $100 from both of us.
All right. I'm going to go first.
Irrationally excited about this prospect. That will never happen.
When it happens, it's going to be so fun. I'm going to take Buffalo 26, Washington 21.
Buffalo 31, Washington 27.
Well, that's a big fat over.
Buffalo 28, Washington 26.
Oh, heartbreaker. I hope that doesn't involve a missed field goal at the end. All right.
All right, we got to run. Here comes John Allen. We will talk to you after the game in Buffalo. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. Always a pleasure to get to sit down and talk to Washington football team defensive tackle, Mr. Jonathan Allen. We've done a lot of these interviews. You're always gracious with your time. You are starting the season on fire, personally. We're going to talk about the team and everything else. How do you feel like the first two games have gone?
I think I've had a lot of personal success. To be honest with you, I've already received my contract. I want to win football games. And I feel like the first game we let slip through our hands, and the second game we are lucky to get away with it. So, you know, we're 1-1 going into Buffalo this weekend, and defensively we have to be better. But, you know, thanks to my teammates, I've been able to make some plays to help this team win, and ultimately that's what I care about right now.
You are firing off the ball. Did you do something different this offseason? Are you in, like, just tremendous shape? Are you healthy? What is going on with you, particularly at the point of attack?
I think for me the biggest thing is not having this contract thing hanging over my head. I feel like last year with the new scheme, new coaches, there was just a lot of things that mentally I feel like were weighing me down. I feel like this year, that's out of the way. I can 100% focus on football. And I feel like as a defense lineman, confidence and mental clarity and just having the mental fortitude to just focus 100% on your tasks is a big key as to why players play great or they don't play great. And I feel like this year mentally I'm just a lot more sharper, stronger, and just reacting quicker.
So then defensively as a whole, we'll zoom out from your play to the group's play. And I don't think it's a surprise. I mean, Ron Rivera is disappointed. I imagine you're disappointed. How do you guys get things right for Buffalo and beyond?
I think the thing to remember is we're in the NFL, and as much potential as everybody else put on us, there's a certain level of standard that we have inside this locker room, and we haven't lived up to it. And I think it's easy to point the finger, blame. We could blame whoever you want, but at the end of the day, we have to execute. And it's the NFL. Guys are going to make plays. I think we just got to refocus in, focus on what we got to do. We got to block out all the exterior noises. At first, everyone thought we were great. Now they're all saying we suck. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It matters about what we do on the field. And we just have to lock in and focus, do the little things right, execute the game plan, and we'll be fine.
Like you said, you guys maybe let one slip away week one, and then week two was just a wild finish there. Daniel Jones had a lot of success on the ground. Josh Allen can move also. Is that something that you guys are trying to address this week, is the threat of the quarterback run?
I mean, I think you're always looking at the threat of the quarterback run. In today's football, quarterbacks are becoming more and more athletic, and more offensive coordinators and teams are putting their quarterback in position to run the football. So we just have to be better all around, stopping the run, stopping the quarterback run, stopping explosive plays. There's a lot of work we have to do, but at the end of the day, we're not going to jump off the ship. We understand that it's the progress. It's growing pains. We went through the same thing last year. We started off slow, and week by week, we got better and better. So, I mean, all we can focus on is what we got to do right now, this week. We had a good practice today, and we're excited about this weekend.
talk about being excited for this weekend. I overheard some of the crowd noise that sounded like was getting pumped in here for practice. I know you saw some good-sized crowds for a COVID year last year traveling down to the Cowboys and stuff, but this is going to be kind of back to how it used to be in Buffalo. You're going to have 70,000 Bills Mafia jumping through tables, lighting themselves on fire, coming into a stadium ready to go nuts. How ready are you for that? How excited are you for that?
We're always excited about the opportunity to play football. It's a blessing. I think the crowd is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. But once you step on the football field, it doesn't really matter. We got to focus on what we got to do. We got to execute. And the team that executes the best is going to win this football game.
For a defensive guy, is the best feeling in the world when you're on the road a quiet stadium?
100%. 100%. Anytime you can go into someone else's house, have success, come out with a win, it's always a good day.
I don't know. I know that players kind of just go one week at a time, right? Like, you don't know who you're playing in week six. That's my job. That's not your job. Your job's to focus on the Bills. But you guys just had a division opponent in the Giants. You don't play another division opponent till Christmas time. Is that weird? Does that stand out to you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird. When I first found out, I thought that was odd. But, I mean, like you said, I didn't find out who we were playing this week until after the game, just because I'm so locked in on what we got to do. I couldn't tell you who we have next week. So at the end of the day, if we take care of business now, that's going to help us later on down the road. So if you take it one week at a time, there is no idea what's December going to be like for either teams. So you just got to focus on what we got to do right now. And right now, that's Buffalo.
For you, a DMV guy, a guy that's from here, that's put effort back into the community, working with foster kids and all sorts of different community outreach stuff. Now that you said the contract's settled, like, you know you're here for a while, how good do you feel to get to do this in your hometown?
It feels great. I mean, the only thing I want to do is help this community and also win football games for Redskins Nation or Washington Football Team Nation. So this is my home. This is where I went to high school at. I love this area. I love this fan base. I love this community.
It's going to be easier when there's a name and you don't have to say Washington Football Team all the time. me too. Imagine trying to write that every day. John, I know you're busy. I know how laser focused you get and that giving me the time isn't the easiest for you. I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Aiken, you moron, stop texting me. I'm not Millicent.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.